chapter number 2. This morning we spoke a message, preaching a message on about that we have to be clean in order to be used by God. And we looked at this idea about when we have backslidings, as the nation of Israel did in the book of Jeremiah, that God is just not able to use them. And how God sent this prophet, Jeremiah, to prophesy for over 40 years and never saw a change in the downward spiral. He watched the nation head right to ruin. And God called him to be the preacher during that daytime and during that year to deliver his message faithfully. And we talked about how backslidings has some dangers because they are their worst problem because of the fact they don't believe they've done anything wrong. We talked about people that are wrong with God and have sin in their hearts, have a false hope, and they will not take warning. We looked at those ideas this morning. We also looked at the great love of God, how God, even though it was a spiritual adultery in a sense that the nation of Israel and especially Judah, this land of Judah, had gone and played a harlot, it says in Jeremiah chapter number 3, with many other lovers, and God says he wanted them to return. He wanted to heal them. He wanted to take care of them and demonstrate the wonderful love that God shows and demonstrates to us. Now, when we come to the New Testament, we have 2 Timothy, probably the last book that Paul wrote. He's writing to Timothy. He's encouraging this young preacher to do what's right and to do what's good. And here we have another valuable portion of this message that helps us understand you have to be clean to make a difference. Now, for a vessel to be usable, has to be clean. We gave you the illustration this morning. When you go to the Golden Corral, you go to a buffet restaurant, many times you look at the plates, make sure they're all clean. Why is that? It's because you don't want to use a dirty plate. I mean, that's not unreasonable. You just don't want to use something that's dirty. Even brought this idea here, this cup's up here. We have a clean cup, and then we have a dirty cup, and I don't think anybody would want to use this. I mean, that's just the truth. It's dirty. We dirtied it up on purpose. My cups don't normally look like this at my house. Got in a little bit of trouble for using a cup like this. I told my youngest son, he says, go ask your mother for permission. She says, he told me about it. He didn't really ask me if he could do that. And my youngest son was the one that dirtied that cup up for me this morning. We're not going to use a cup like that, are we? And don't we think that God has more intelligence than we do?
Amen.
Doesn't God have more sense than we do? To think that God's going to turn around, see us, dirty individuals, dirty with sin, regarding iniquity in our heart, and say, okay, God, I'm here, now use me. It just doesn't work that way. And there's a wonderful passage of Scripture here to help us understand that, remind you of the quote that D.L. Moody said, God doesn't seek for gold vessels, does not ask for silver ones, but he must have clean ones. And even take it a step farther. If this cup was made out of pure gold and had a silver lining with diamond studs around it, and then you took this red cup, the gold cup all dirty, and then you got this cheap old red plastic cup that we throw away, which one would you use? You still use the clean one. And it's the idea here. God, it doesn't mean that we have to be super pretty or super attractive. We just have to be clean so God can use us. And it's a usable vessel. And here in this passage of Scripture, some things I want us to look at and some things I want us to come to a good understanding of and help us understand as we've been talking about making a difference in the world that we've been living in this year. Here, let's look here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's look at verse number 19. We'll go all the way down to verse number 22. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, the first point I want you to take a look at is that the Lord, the Master, or the Lord, is looking for vessels to use. Look specifically at verse number 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you just work in our hearts and lives tonight. Help us to leave this place saying, Lord, I want to be a vessel that is used by you, Lord, to make a difference. Lord, I pray that you help us to leave this place saying that we know we need to be clean, and that's our desire, and that we're not going to let anything get in our way. Help us to pursue after these things that you told us to follow after. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I don't want anybody to misunderstand what we're trying to get to. I don't want anybody to get to the point where we think that we can pray so hard and come so clean that we can pick and choose how we want to make a difference. How that we can read enough memory verses, that we can do all these things, that we can go out and we can change someone else's heart. That's not the point here. That's not what we've been trying to get to and what we're trying to be working at. He said, Pastor, you're confusing me. No, what we need to be is to become a vessel in God's hands. Just like this cup is here for a reason. The purpose why we bought it was to be able to use it in whatever way we see fit. And we can use it as a way to drink out of, and that's the normal one. You can use it to break things with, to make a mess. You can use it to put mud in, use the sermon illustrations. I mean, there's lots of, you can stack cups like we learned at Kids Crusade up to be really, really tall. I wouldn't suggest it with the glass ones, but you can do all types of things. But this was purchased for a reason and for a part. And I don't even remember if we bought this one or this is one of the wedding ones that we had from a long time ago. I probably wasn't allowed to touch those, so I had to use these other ones. We bought this for a reason and a purpose. And that's pretty obvious, isn't it? And when we're talking about making a difference, we're not talking about how we get to pick and choose what we want to make a difference in. I know I've been telling you about motivations, that we do want to make a difference in our family's life. We do want to make a difference in our church's life. We do want to make a difference in our country's life. We do want to make a difference in these other people's lives. But just like we learned about Jeremiah this morning, he was a clean vessel, and for over 40 years, preached the same message, and he didn't see anything change. But what he was God's spokesman in the dark, disastrous time, showing that God still loved them, giving that message still that God cared for them, that God still was calling them to repent, and he watched that nation just go straight to ruin. This is what we need to be in God's hand. It's a clean vessel. Not to pick and choose what we want to do and what we want to say and what difference we want to make, but to recognize who God is. And as we recognize who God is, we place ourselves in God's hand, just as the clay is put in the potter's hand, for him to make whatever vessel he wants to out of us. See, our problem is many times, as the vessel, we think we should pick and choose. Okay, God, I'm right with you. I've been praying every day. I've been reading my Bible every day. I've been memorizing my scripture. I've been doing this, this, and this. Now, fix my family. You know, that's doesn't work that way. What we do is we put ourselves in God's hands and allow God to use us whatever way he wants to make a difference. Now, he's not going to force himself on anyone, but what he can do is he can use you to make that difference where we want to make the difference at. What we do is we allow ourselves to just realize we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and this body of ours, it's just like a glass in our hands. Our body can be as a glass in God's hands, a vessel in God's hands, so he can use us however he sees fit. If he sends us over to Africa, he sends us to Africa. If he sends us across the street, he sends us across the street. If he calls us to be a Sunday school teacher, he calls us to be a Sunday school teacher. If he calls us to be married, he calls us to be married. If he calls us to be single, and whatever it is that he comes, we're just the vessel sitting in God's hands. The vessel, this cup, this cup said to me, you know, I want to be a bowl. First thing I would do, I'd probably drop it, because a cup speaking to me would be ridiculous. But you can imagine how ridiculous it would be for this cup to say, I'm not very happy with you using me the way you used me. I bought you, you're mine. I'd probably throw it in the trash can. But see, God doesn't throw us away. You know, the potter, you know, he made him again. He continued to work with the nation of Israel. And that's what he does with us until we realize that we are just clay in God's hands. So the first point, when we get to all this, it is a privilege to be used by the master. And it's the master is looking for vessels to use. All throughout his word, he talks about he's the master, he's the potter, and he's looking for vessels. He's looking for people that are clean, that are emptied of self, empty of this world, and vessels that he can pick up and use whatever way he wants. But you know what most people give him? They give him this, something that can't be used. They give him something that's filled with the world's filth, filled with the world's dirt, the world's sin, all inside of them. And you know what they are? They're something that has to be set aside until they're cleaned up. And once they're cleaned up, then they can be used. But Christian, today, I want to encourage you. Let God use you. I want you to understand, the master is looking for vessels to use. I want you to see here in Chronicles 16, verse 9, it's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, henceforth thou shalt have wars." One of these years, this is going to be our theme verse. I always got a list of different things that God's works on my heart about, and God tells me specifically which way to go. But I love this verse because it says that, you know, God's eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, and he wants to. His desire is to find a vessel that he can show himself strong in. He said it. He says, to and fro throughout all the earth, whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. What he's saying is, I am looking for a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a teenager who will be clean, whose heart will be right, whose heart will be perfect toward him. And what does it mean to have your heart perfect toward him? It means that it's clean. It means that you see yourselves as nothing but in God's hands, a vessel to be used for whatever way he sees. And here tonight, and that's what he's saying, I'm looking for somebody like this so I can show myself strong in them. So I can use them to make a difference. That's what I'm looking for. And he is looking for people he can use. In the day of Ezekiel's time, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Even in Ezekiel's time, he says, I was looking for this. What I was looking for was a clean, empty vessel. Someone that I could say, stand in the gap for me. He says, I couldn't find anybody. You want to know why? There was plenty of God's chosen people. There's plenty of God's children that was there. Plenty of them had the talents and the abilities. But they were dirty. God says, I was looking for someone that was going to be clean and whose heart was right. Someone who would stand in the gap for me. Someone who would be like Jeremiah, that would stand and preach, wouldn't be scared of their faces, and would continue on serving year after year after year. He says, I couldn't find anybody like this. Everybody was like this. I can't use this. And that's what God's saying here. First thing I want you to see here is that we can actually be meat for the master's use. It means that we can live a life that God can be pleased with, and God can say, that's a vessel I can use. That is something I can use. Sometimes tools get worn out. Sometimes tires get worn out. Now, sometimes when you go to your car and you see that the tread's all gone, you look at that and say, I can't use that tire anymore. But when you look at the standards of it and you see the tread and you measure your tread, you know what? That is something I can use, even for a little while longer. And that's what it means. Are we up to God's standards where he can use us? Remember, we want to make a difference. But how do we make a difference? It's by being a clean vessel in God's hands. Second thing I want you to see is, not only is the master looking for vessels to use, I want you to see the vessel's responsibility in this. He says, Pastor, you got my attention. He says, I do want to make a difference. I do want to be a clean, empty vessel that God can use. Okay, God, what is it that I need to do? What is it I need to do? And he tells us here. He says, in verse number 21, there is a responsibility that the vessel has. Who's the vessel? We are supposed to be the vessel. There is this responsibility. If a man therefore purge himself from these. Now, does it say when God purges him? No. Does it say when God finally cleans him up? No. What it says here, it's our responsibility. The vessel God chooses purges himself. What does he purge himself from? Earlier, it talked about false doctrines. Earlier, it talked about corrupt influences. Earlier, it talked about things that were immoral and things that were wrong. He's saying if he will purge himself from from these corrupt influences that are employed and most useful, God is able to use somebody who is clean. He considers himself to be holy, a person who purges himself from the things of this world and purges himself from the things of the mentality of this world. That is the person that becomes meat for the master's use. It's a person who will see themselves as consecrated to the Lord, belonging to God, set apart for his noble and holy purposes. It's a person who will be emphasized that they are purging themselves. They are clearing themselves from dishonorable things. They are shunning themselves from defiling company and polluting principles. They are staying clear of heresies and immoral practices of people. And that God will not do it all for you. God says if you come back to him, he will clean you. He will heal you. He will take care of you. But you have to make that first step. You have to say, I am ready to get rid of all this garbage that is making me dirty. I have to be willing to purge myself. By removing himself from all the false teachers as well as the believers who are carnal. Take your Bibles and go to Psalms chapter number 4. You can keep your place here. We're coming back here in a little while. I want you to look in Psalms chapter number 4. There's a verse that we looked at earlier today. And I'd like for you to see it yourself. Psalms chapter number 4. Christian, it is not just us working up any type of spiritual frenzy. It's us saying, there's things in my life that is causing me to be dirty. There's things in my life that is sin, and I must purge myself from it if I want to be able to be meat for what God can use. Here in Psalms chapter number 4 and verse number 3, Psalms 4 and verse number 3 says, but know the Lord have set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Now I want you to understand this. The Lord has set apart some people for himself. The Lord has come alongside and says, okay, this is a person I can use. He sets him apart. Sets him away from everything else. Who is that person he sets apart? Who is that person he sets apart? It says, the Lord have set apart him that is godly. This is something all must know and all must understand. God sets apart the man who reverences him and obeys his commandments. I think that's what a godly person is. A person who reverences him, who looks to him, wants to be like him, and obeys his commandments. The one who has a love toward him and a love toward others. The one who's filled with a desire and a zeal for the things of the Lord to see him glorified in every circumstance and situation. This man is marked by God. He is set aside by God. He is God's property, and God will use him in his service and distinguish him with uncommon favor. God will say, okay, there is a godly person. There is a person who is clean. I'm going to take that individual. I'm going to set him apart because I plan on using him someday. Now, all of us are together. God sees the clean ones and the holy ones. And he says, here, that's somebody I can use. But how do we get there? We purge ourselves. Take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 52, since you're in the Old Testament here. The godly one is set apart by God and has the understanding that those who are appointed to the Lord's service must remain holy and pure. Go to Isaiah 52. Another great verse. It talks about the need of being holy. Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 11, the word of God says, depart ye, go ye out from hence, touch not, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And this is talking about doing the work of the Lord. He says, be ye clean. It says, depart. It says, touch no unclean thing. Don't tell me that God doesn't care how you live. Don't tell me just because you have sin in your lives and you're messing around with some things that are this world that God doesn't really count. God doesn't really care. God still wants to use you. God doesn't overlook your sin. You know, here he's telling them that want to carry the bear, the vessels of the Lord, I need you to be clean. He says, I don't want you to touch anything that's unclean. I want you to be clean and I want you to depart from those things that are wicked. Let's now go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you have some other verses that the Bible teaches us and shows us the importance of being separated unto God. You say, what do you mean by separated? It means that we are separated from this world and we're separated unto God. which means that God is going to set us apart. Remember, we've been called out of darkness. We've been called into His glorious light. We've been taken out of that evil world, that world mindset. We've been set aside and set apart. So if you are a person who is trying to purge themselves, a person who is godly, a person who is set apart for God's service, then you'll see the importance of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at verses 16 through 18. It says, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And now look what it says in verse 17. "Wherefore come out from among them." Doesn't say cozy up with them. Doesn't say just keep them at an arm's length. Doesn't say try to play around with them. Doesn't say, hey, be tempted with it a little bit. It says, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." What does that mean? He says, he's going to be able to receive. He's going to be able to use you. "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, here what it's saying is that we need to be separated. We need to purge ourselves. We need to leave the influences of this world behind. And now, you say, "Pastor, you mean I should never talk to a person that's unsaved?" No. That is contrary to what the Bible teaches. We need to reach out when it comes to salvation. We need to tell them about Jesus Christ. But we do not need to walk in their philosophy. We do not need to discuss and help let them help us make the decision in this world. We need not be in the council of the ungodly. We do not need to sit in the seat of the scornful. We need to instead come out from those wicked days and those wicked times and those wicked things. And we need to stay away from it. You know, we don't like, many people don't like passages of scriptures like this. Many people think that we should hold hands together of all other religions and all other people with all different thoughts and think everything is okay. It's not okay. The Bible still tells us to get away from it, to stay away from it. Don't play around with it. Just if you want to be used by God, if you want to be somebody who's purged, you got to purge yourself from these things. If you want to be a vessel that God can use, if you want to be a vessel that can make a difference when you put yourself in God's hands, if you don't want to be dirty anymore, you're going to have to get away from the things of the world. There's no other way to do it. So first thing we see that God is looking for vessels to use. Second thing, we see the vessel's responsibility. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. What is the vessel's responsibility? It's to purge himself. We see the things of the world. We're supposed to purge ourselves from the things of this world. We're not supposed to love the things of the world. The Bible tells us, love not the things of the world. We're not supposed to be messing around with the things of the world. We're not supposed to be around those that are doing worldly things. The Bible says, come out from among them. Be separate. But we see here now, thirdly, how to keep the vessel clean. How to keep the vessel clean. Say, "Pastor, okay, I get what you're saying, but how do I do that?" Well, it says it in verse number 22. Look what it says in verse 22. It says, "Flee also youthful lust." You know, once you've made yourself to the point where you're clean, I'm ready. God, I'm here. I'm in your hands. Use me whatever way you want. How do you stay there? That's what backsliding is. If you were ever to this point where you were clean and ready to be used by God, and today you're dirty like that, you're backslid. You've gone away from your relationship with God. Instead of getting closer and drawing nigh to God, you have slid in backwards. What you need to do is try to get back to this point in that relationship with God. That's what we talked about this morning. If you were not here this morning, I encourage you to listen to the message online. But we're not going to re-preach the message tonight. But the idea here is, do you want to be a vessel that God can use? We talk about making a difference. And it is our desire. And it is something that we play on our emotions to say, yes, we do want to help. But in all reality, it all boils down to this. Are we a vessel in God's hands? To use whatever way God wants to. Because if we want to be that vessel that's meet for the master's use, we need to be clean. How do we stay clean? We flee youthful lust. You know what that word flee refers to? It's translated from a Greek word that means to run from, to shun, to escape from. And this idea of youthful is translated from the Greek word that means juvenile. Now, what it's saying is to run from any type of juvenile sin. Now, I know most people here have heard this quoted often about sexual immorality. Most people have put this together when Joseph was with Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar's wife was trying to cause him to fall into fornication and adultery. You know what Joseph did? He ran. He took off. And that's a good way to apply it. But it's not just referring to that. It's referring to juvenile things. It's referring to things that that came up when we were younger and that they might carry over into adulthood. There are things that might originate in our youth, but they can easily carry over into our adulthood. And what this actually is saying is that you need to run from sin. You need to run for your life. Don't think about sin. Don't pray about sin. Don't see how long it takes for you to resist it. It says just get away from it. If you want to remain clean, it means don't play around with it. It means if you see something and you see that it could cause a sin in your life, you know what you need to do is go the other way. The Bible says, "The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." The prudent man foreseeth the evil. What he's saying there is he sees in the future. He sees where this thing could become a problem. This thing could become a sin. This thing could be an area of issue in his life. You know what he does? He hides himself from it. That's the idea. It means he gets away from it. He doesn't want to be anywhere around it. He doesn't want to be anywhere near it. If I have a problem with music, I don't want to be anywhere near a radio that's going to play the wrong music. If I have a problem with the TV, I don't want to be anywhere near where it has channels I shouldn't be watching. If I have a problem with the internet, I want to be anywhere around the internet that does not have safeguards and people watching and helping me keep me accountable with those things. That's what it means. It means running from it, staying from it, seeing that there is a potential problem here, and I'm fleeing that youthful lust. Now, that youthful lust, we love to say, hey, that's for the teenagers. They need to worry about this. They need to figure this out. But this is not just referring to teenagers. This is referring to the problems that you had back when you were a young person that you've never got it right. Those sins that carry with you and that keep on coming and keep on coming. When you're youthful, you used to lust after those things. And today, we need to understand that we need to flee from those things that have always bothered us, that has always haunted us, that has always kind of come along with us. We've had victory over them many times. But when we see this, their angry head coming back up, you know what we need to do? Is just run far from it. Think about some of the problems that youth have and that maybe you had as a teenager. Young people today, many times impatient. You ever notice that? Many times young people are impatient today. That's something that when we see things coming in our lives, we need to learn how to be patient and kind. Self-assertion, loving to argue, the love of novelty, the love of youthful idealism. You know, these are things that many times as a young person we have carried over in these years and we have allowed these basic things to come into our hearts and lives. You know what we need to do is we need to run from them. If you see something or someone is trying to get you to sin, don't sit there and argue with them. You know, run away from it. Don't give the devil a chance. Don't give the devil an inch. Don't give the devil a room to get in there. He says, look, the Bible says, separate yourselves. He says, get away from it. And that's how you stay clean. And maybe if you've ever been to this spot, if you ever want to be to this spot, when you get there, what do you got to do is you got to flee away from the sin of this world. You know, I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know what sins, that youthful lust that you have in your hearts and lives. Maybe it's anger, not the right type of anger. Maybe it is wrong thoughts. Maybe it is looking at wrong things. Maybe it is wrong relationships. Maybe it is lying. Maybe it is stealing. Maybe it is drinking or smoking or drugs. Maybe it is not treating your wife right or treating your husband right. Maybe it is. I don't know what it is. But when you see things that are going to cause you to stumble, when you see things that are going to cause you to fall, when you see anything in your heart, anything in your life that's going to stop you from being clean and being a vessel that you want to be used by God, you know what you need to do? Is run away from it. Leave it. Leave it behind. Joseph lost his coat, but it kept his character. And that's what we need to learn how to do. Doesn't matter if we had to give up some things in this life. If we can keep our character, if we can keep our cleanliness, we can still be that vessel. Isn't that what we want to be anyway? I mean, it all boils down to what is it that we want in life? Last week we talked about it. You need to have compassion, so you want to make a difference. There are some people sitting here today and say, Pastor, why do I care about making a difference? You've missed the whole point. You missed the whole point why you've been saved. That we've been saved, we've been called out of that darkness into the glorious light so we can show forth the praises of God. We need to understand that we've been created, we've been bought with a price, we've been given a chance, and we've been given a chance so God could use us. He didn't save us for us not to sit around and do anything. He didn't save us for us to live our lives like this, to sit around dirty, looking ridiculous. You know what he saved us through? So he could use us as vessels that are meet for the master's use. Not only is there two things involved in keeping clean, first of all, there's some things that you need to flee. Secondly, there's some things that you need to follow. Look what it says in verse 22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Not only are you supposed to run away from the things of this world, not sit there and play with them, and that's what too many people are doing. They're messing around with sin, and they're getting bit, and they're getting stuck, and they don't know how to get out of it. But we're supposed to follow. There is something we're supposed to pursue. There are some things that we're supposed to go after. There are some things that we're supposed to be seeking. And it says these things are righteousness, which means living right. Faith, talking about faith in God, believing and trusting in God. Charity, which is reference to love. Peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Those are the things we're supposed to be looking for. We're not supposed to be looking after those things that are going to cause us to stumble. Not supposed to be looking after those things that are going to cause us to fall. What we're supposed to do with those, we're supposed to run away from them. We're supposed to flee from them. We're supposed to hide ourselves from them. We're supposed to not have any part of it. We're supposed to get up, get away from it, not be around it. That's what we're supposed to do with our youthful lusts. But you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to pursue after some things. We're supposed to be looking for faith. We're supposed to be searching for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting is what it talks about in Matthew, after righteousness. It talks about seeking a life of peace. All those things, those are the things you're supposed to go after. So as we get ready to close, what type of vessel are you? Are you clean or are you dirty? God's not going to use this. I don't want you to deceive yourself. I don't want, like the people, and we talk about the backsliders. Their hope was somewhere else. They said, "We have not sinned." God says they're spiritual adulterers that have gone away and played the role of the harlot with many lovers, and God's heart is broken over what they did, and people get saying, "We're not doing anything wrong." That's because they're dirty. They're not willing to get it right. The devil has convinced them that everything they're doing is just fine. It is a lie straight from the pits of hell. And they have their hope in things that are different than what God is. They were relying on the hills, which talking about their false gods. They could sacrifice to a false god and Baal and say that they had not offended the Jehovah God. They had gone far, far away from being clean. Now, are you meat for the master's use? Are you qualified? Have you purged yourself? Let me encourage you, beg you to give this consideration. We do want to make a difference. We do want God to use us to change this world. We got a responsibility in that. That first responsibility says it in verse number 21. If a man therefore purge himself, get rid of the things that are getting you dirty, lay yourself in God's hand and say, "God, there I am. Use me whatever way you want." That is when God will use us. Because what does he say? He sets those apart. He talks about the godly. He sets the godly apart so he can use them. He says, "There's somebody I can bless. There's somebody I can use. There's someone I need to set aside and remember because I can use them." Listen to how one commentary puts it. God can use only clean and holy vessels. God cannot bestow his glory upon anything evil or tainted. The Christian life demands unswerving obedience and allegiance to Christ. It places responsibility upon each believer to maintain a pure and unpolluted life. God cannot bestow his glory upon anything evil or anything tainted. Now, we live in a world today that they don't mind if there's a little bit of wickedness, a little bit of dirt, we can still use it. That's not how God works. He wants us to be clean. Tonight, are you somebody God can use? That's what I want to be. Even if it means I have to purge myself from things of this world, even if it means that I have to separate myself from other things, even if it means I have to give up certain things, even if it means I have to stop certain relationships, no matter whatever it means, it's worth it. Be able to be meat for the master's use. Remember, we live in a spiritual plane, in a spiritual world as Christians. We can't make a difference on our own. Physically, we cannot do it. We have to be this way so God can make the difference. You say, Pastor, I want to be this way, but I want to make the difference I want to make. No. We got to come to the point where we say we're just vessels. And we got to make sure that we are vessels that God can use. Let's go ahead and pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's go ahead and raise to our feet for a time of invitation.